This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by two brilliant guests who are working in the area of sort of ESG impact investing and developed a platform for this effort. We're joined today by Alex Friedman, the co-founder and CEO of Novata, and also Lorraine Wilson, who's the Chief Impact Officer of Novata. Alex, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your platform and efforts? And then Lorraine, I'll ask you to do the same thing. Alex?
Sure. Thanks so much for having us. My name is Alex Friedman. My background is at the kind of intersection of running investment firms and impact space. I was the CFO of the Gates Foundation, developed their strategic investment fund, and then I ran a series of different investment management firms. Novata, at its core, is a public benefit corporation designed by a unique consortium of foundations like the Ford Foundation and Omidyar, and leading for-profit companies like S&P and Hamilton Lane. And they all came together because the idea that you can't, if you can't measure something, you can't change it, is a fundamental one. And we believe that private markets, private equity in particular, represents one of the most important levers for using capital to be a positive force for social good. So what Novata is a essentially like a public utility where private equity firms can have their portfolio companies track relevant ESG metrics, store it in a secure way where they permission who has access to it, and then use that data to gain critical insights from benchmarking against private and public company peers, from looking at how their improvement might go over time, and to report to their relevant stakeholders, ranging from LPs, investors, to regulators.
So many interesting pieces of this, and I'll turn to Lorraine in a moment. Or Lorraine, let me ask you to introduce yourself. Then I'll ask you a couple questions about this tracking of ESG metrics, because we're in this world where more and more, and I want to say everybody's trying to be an ESG fund, but so many parties are trying to present themselves is ESG focused or ESG impact, but we know that the reality versus the marketing is often somewhere in between. Lorraine, with that lead, let me just ask you to introduce yourself. Then I want to talk about that question of why it's so important to measure some of these efforts versus the commercialization of so many efforts.
Thanks, Scott. It's very important to have that clarity. So I spent the first part of my career in investment management, working with institutional investors, doing due diligence on funds. That idea of lifting the hood and understanding your investment, what exactly you're holding was so important. Throughout that first part of my career, started to see more sustainable ESG funds come to market. So as you said, it is a popular designation. I took a pivot and went into the ESG data world, working specifically at Just Capital, which is a mission-driven nonprofit ESG research organization. And that role then helped me transition to Novata. Just was more focused on public companies. Novata, as Alex said, is really focused on the private market. And again, there's a little bit less transparency on this side. And so we do think what we're bringing to market, this transparency standard way of reporting is just mission critical.
Thank you. And Alex, maybe you could help spread some light on this. I see that some of the core investors are this great mix of not-for-profits and for-profits. I mean, the Gates Foundation may not be an investor itself, but Ford Foundation is, Hamilton Lane is, some magnificent parties, S&P Global. And talk to us a little bit about what's a public benefit corporation? What is that? So people that aren't familiar with that, what is that? And is still, if Hamilton Lane's a traditional private equity investor, is the intent still to build this into a very profitable company, or is it more of a public watchdog? What is a public benefit corporation?
Sure. It's a great question. So a public benefit corporation at its heart is a corporation where the board of directors and the management have a fiduciary obligation to all of their relevant stakeholders. And that includes not just their shareholders, but it includes their employees, their supply chain partners, the communities they operate in, the regulatory environment. It might sound like something that doesn't seem like a big difference, but if you go back to kind of the Milton Friedman doctrine around shareholder primacy, which we all, I think, take for granted as how corporations run, it is quite a different model. In the kind of Milton Friedman approach, you know, a management team and a board have one obligation, which is to maximize returns to their shareholders. Arguably, that has caused some problems in the world that we're operating in today, whether those are tragedy of the commons problems around, you know, the environment or social inequity. And so at its heart, a public benefit corporation is designed to take into consideration more than just the shareholders. Does that make sense?
100%. Let me ask you this question. Talk about brilliant people that you've collected at Novata. You, for example, brilliant, spent a long time at the Gates Foundation. At what point in your sort of development as a leader, as a person, did you sort of go that route, which is towards this great mix of corporate but public good, instead of just the straight private equity route like so many of peers go towards in a different sort of, you know, direction? How did you end up in the direction you ended up? And then, Lorraine, I want to talk about the same thing with you, because you went to Just Capital versus just completely the sort of how do I maximize personal wealth? And both are fine. There's not a judgment, but I am curious as to what drove you in that direction.
So maybe I'll start. The reason that this consortium came together with such an unusual set of partners, the biggest social justice foundation, the biggest financial data company, the biggest intermediary in the private markets, the leader in inclusive capitalism in Omidyar, the reason such a disparate group came together is because a problem like the one we're trying to tackle has to be kind of addressed in a holistic way. And what I mean by that is it requires very different groups to come together to try to move the needle. So if you think about what we're doing, you could create a pure for-profit backed by, say, traditional venture capital with the goal of trying to collect data around private companies and monetize it. Part of the challenge that we believe one would have if you do that is that a lot of owners of financial data, private companies, don't have a real incentive to turn it over to a pure for-profit company. Rather, what's needed is almost like a public utility that's under the kind of leadership of those with real moral authority who are operating in the right direction. And that is why Novata is actually controlled by the nonprofit sector, meaning its largest investors together are the foundation sector and its employees. And at the same time, you need an organization that has great financial resources, that's going to be around for the long haul, and that understands data security, how to build a world-class data infrastructure. Those are the kinds of attributes that an S&P or Hamilton Lane has in spades. So we brought this group together because we did believe that only with a unique kind of disparate set of players would we be able to tackle something that is right at the intersection of building a business, doing something that is, as I said, kind of like a public utility with a moral overlay of doing the right thing, which is trying to bring transparency to the owners of private companies so they can understand how they're doing relative to their peers and where they could improve. Lorraine, do you think I captured that right?
I do. So it's a great question, Scott.
No, and would love just one bit more, Lorraine, and maybe you could tee up on this. Mm-hmm. At some point, you made the decision, and I assume, you know, to sort of focus life around things closer to Just Capital than KKR mm-hmm. and Carlyle, as an example. And that's not a judgment against KKR or Carlyle or judgment towards Just Capital, but you made a conscious choice to spend your world at this intersection of finance and ESG. Finance and doing great things. Now you're chief impact officer of what ultimately is someone that's going to help to keep metrics around, are people really doing what they're saying they're doing? And there's great scorecards out there for not-for-profit organizations where you could study, does the not-for-profit really put money into the charity they say, or is 90% of the money really going to the people that run the charity? I mean, we've seen those scorecards. And obviously this ESG world, it is a magnificent mix of people that are really, really focused on ESG, however they define it, versus those that say they're an ESG. But more interesting, Lorraine, how did you decide to sort of put yourself in this intersection of these worlds? What was the calling? Was it a calling? How did you end up sort of deciding to do so?
It's a great question, Scott. You know, I was a beneficiary of a Quaker education, and I do always think that ESG Impact conferences in Philadelphia, for example, just have this extra, it's just a special place given the Quaker history there and the dialogues and the parallels that they are able to draw between their work. But for me, I'd say I came to this a little bit later on in my career. I did actually start at Goldman as a summer analyst, as many Georgetown undergraduates are prone to do. So that was, you know, my first initiation into the financial services space, working in private wealth and then asset management. But within asset management, where I started to see the investor preferences of public pension plans, so carefully, you know, laying out the exclusions that they wanted for their portfolios, that they didn't want exposure to firearms or tobacco, for example. So I'd say in the early 2000s was my sort of initiation into, you know, what investors were thinking of. Although it wasn't an ESG-focused role, we were certainly having those conversations and making those customizations for clients. And what's so interesting is, at that time, as a sales team, you were really advocating for your client that there were never too many exclusions or considerations for their portfolio. Other requests they were making were that we as a firm look for diverse suppliers. So these topics aren't new. It's just the labeling has really gotten so detailed in terms of what the industry is calling different things. But this idea of a stakeholder approach, being mindful, who's impacted by your spending or lack of spending, or in that case, directing a portion of the trades, for example, not new topics. I do think that the labeling has been more of a focus today. So for me, I'd say, exposed fairly early on, but picking it as a career path is something that I was only able to do in the past couple of years to make it 100% of the focus.
It's a fascinating perspective, and it's a great roadmap to how what's happened is sort of the evolution and growth of ESG as a world and impact investing. So thank you for that. Let me start, Lorraine, here with you. What are you most excited about this year? Where are you most focused as we end 2021, we're into 2022? Where's the big focus and excitement? What are you most focused and excited about?
Sure, I think, Scott, there's a lot of momentum for investors of all types. And we are hearing the same in the private equity space. The private market is really focused on social issues, highlighting those, dealing with, what do we do with the data as we find out the result of investigating this, what kind of feedback loops do we need to have as it relates to portfolio company performance or our own performance as a private equity firm. So social certainly is newer in terms of being an agenda item. A lot of surveys were showing toward the end of 2020 is when this started to pop up on more investors' radars, but also environment, hard to ignore with COP26 underway, and just the impact of where we are right now and versus where we need to be and what individual business owners can do, whether that's measuring your own heating costs or use of heat in your own office space versus whether your employees are back out on the road and how they're choosing to travel and how far. So certainly some choices we can all make, and the reporting, gathering the data helps you manage towards your own goals. And in some areas, more like the UK, some more regulatory requirements.
And Alex, thank you, Lorraine. Alex, as you all grow Novata, magnificent effort, what are you most focused and excited about this year? Where do you put the big priorities of the focus and excitement?
About 90% of the businesses worldwide are private, not public. So I guess what I'm most excited about is starting to bring some needed transparency around sustainability issues to the 90% of the world of capitalism that I think has not been a focus the way, say, public markets have been. It's ironic, right? Because public markets are where you see all these big net zero commitment announcements. And yet most of the private companies, they're not even in the discussion. So if Novata can help give private companies and their owners a way to understand, okay, what ESG metrics matter? How do I understand how I'm doing relative to my peers and how can I improve? Well, that to us is a hugely important mission. And that's, you know, that's what we're most excited about for sure.
Magnificent. I guess I'd ask you the critical question, which is a better law school, Columbia or Harvard?
Well, since I'm not a practicing lawyer, I'm not sure I have the true insight, but I enjoy Columbia quite a bit. I know my dad went to Harvard. He enjoyed that quite a bit. What do you think?
So you can weigh in on it. You could say Columbia is a better school then. That's a fair statement just to create some family rivalry. No, magnificent, magnificent schools. I don't have a clear opinion on it. I think a magnificent, magnificent school and fantastic. Lorraine, where do we learn more about Novata and where does the private equity community learn more about it? I mean, Yelts' comments on we've moved to a place where even of the investment community, there's less publicly held companies than there were a decade or two ago for a whole bunch of reasons. More and more of the world is more towards private equity. Trillions invested through private equity in things. This becomes a much bigger area for pension funds, insurance companies, endowments to look at, and individual investors that are investing. Where do people learn more about Novata, Lorraine, and learn more about what you all are doing?
There's a lot of opportunity, as you said, Scott. We do consider ourselves an on-ramp for firms that have not yet gotten started with their reporting, but also, you know, the metrics that we selected can accommodate more sophisticated firms that have been having these conversations for years. So I'd encourage anyone to visit our website, novata.com. You can download our framework, which shows you the really widely sourced common metrics that we've pulled together and start there. And we'll be rolling out a series of webinars and other educational resources to really highlight the importance of these topics and talk about how to approach reporting in general.
Alex and Lorraine, thank you so much for joining us. Before we close out, Alex, let me ask you a couple more questions that I failed to sort of press deeper on. First is, talk a little bit about why it was so important to be a public benefit corporation versus a not-for-profit or strictly a for-profit company. And second, maybe a moment on how this works. How does Novata work? Is Novata doing rankings of private equity funds? Or is it helping private equity funds and investors benchmark themselves? How exactly will this work? And give us just a moment on those two questions, public benefit corporation versus not-for-profit, and why it's so important that you're a public benefit corporation. And also, you know, rankings or not rankings and what the how these tools will be used on the platform will be used. Alex?
Sure, Scott, thank you. So first, we designed this as a public benefit corporation so that it could be self-sustaining financially. And it's a mission-driven organization, first and foremost. We're building what we hope will be a public utility. But if it were a pure nonprofit, we would have real uncertainty around future funding. And this is a decade-long journey, which requires really significant financial investment. And so we wanted to be sure we could raise enough resources and build a business model that would be self-sustaining while keeping mission first. And that's why we chose the public benefit model.
It's not just about rankings or benchmarks or how this works, key performance indicators, how this works.
Sure. First and foremost, Novata is not a rankings effort. In no way will we be doing rankings. We think the public markets have suffered because there's been two problems. One, lots of ambiguity about what you're supposed to report against. And then two, hundreds of groups trying to fill in data and do rankings, and they're all over the place. In our case, we are collecting objective data, self-reported by the owners of the data, and then providing benchmarking tools off of that data so that any owner of a private company, private equity firm, or the private company themselves will have confidence in being able to see how they're doing and where they could improve, but definitely not taking the rankings approach.
Fantastic. And there, as you said, there's a ton of different rankings out there. They're all over the board. There's consulting firms that sell an ability to be sort of phrased into a ranking for all practical purposes, and all kinds of negatives with those kinds of concepts as well. So, Alex, I want to thank you for joining us today. Lorraine, yourself as well. Magnificent what you're doing at Novata. I know it's growing great, and continued good luck with what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott.